It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I'm your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. Scotty Johnny himself, and with me, as per usual, is thy lovely co-host, Aaron Cheddar Talk Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Oh, it's been quite the sports week, at least. It's been not great here in Wisconsin. But to pull us out of that, to get us out of our nosedive, and also help us through our requiem of a Packers season, we have friend of the podcast, Jim Widener, joining us again. How are you, Jim? And, of course, welcome.
John, Aaron, it's always a pleasure. And if you're looking for me to pick up your guys' emotions, you talked to the wrong guy. I could get a different guest in here. And it's great to be on. Thank you, guys.
It's been a while, Jim. You've grown a small animal on your face in the last time we've
seen you. Well, you know, I've been living in the wilderness. I've went into quarantine. With my family, we've been living off the grid, and I'm just lucky the generator started up so I could start my Commodore 64 computer and talk to the outside.
I'm going to say, how far outside of Rochester are you? Man.
No, it's just I look like a 90-year-old man with his beard, and my wife hates it, so it's all good.
If you want to know,
Zumbra Falls is a rough neighborhood.
Some road. Yeah.
It's a beautiful area and has a strip joint.
Yeah, it's Minnesota. What doesn't?
And rafting trips. There you go. Down the Zumbro River. So yeah.
One of my favorite legal cases ever involved Minnesota and strip clubs. As part of a way to make I forget which municipality it was. It might have been Hudson or somewhere near there. South of Twin Cities, they had a strip club that the township wanted to shut down. And the local owner checked with a lawyer, and for whatever reason, the lawyer thought this was good law, said, yeah, if you get people to register that they live at your strip club, they could vote there in the city. So they got a lot of the people who worked there, and then also a lot of the regulars to register that was where they lived, and then voted it down. Turns out
that was in the lovely community of Coates, Minnesota.
Oh, Coates.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, Coates, I was like, yes. And so that's. Turns out it's not legal, but the guy didn't get in trouble because he consulted with an attorney first. But yes, no. Right. It was a fun case.
It's funny that I think that it was the family's last name was Jacobson. The son owned the strip joint in Coates, and his dad owned the strip joint in Cannon Falls called Peelers.
So very nice.
Hand-me-down family tradition.
So wonderful. Anyhow, that's already picked me up a little bit. That's just such a fun story. I love that case. There's so many weird legal cases out there. You just find them and you just like to store them away somewhere. It's good to remember.
Quarantine stuff. Hager City down there in your area, which is in the flats of the he's frozen so he doesn't hear us.
No, I got you.
Yeah, we're all here.
Oh, okay. No, Hager City's down in the flats of the Mississippi, and you kind of lose track as to where the Minnesota-Wisconsin border starts at any given point. And I know that that's what Dad was talking about. The Stillwater-Somerset connection during quarantine has been crazy too. So. Of course, Hudson's just on the other side. It's interesting.
Right. Wow, yes. Well, yes, the traffic through Wabasha has been amazing since the quarantine.
It's like the Cordova Island and El Paso back in the 1800s. Anyways.
Gosh, that's such a good reference. I love it.
That was a deep dive right there. You people are going to want to go look that up. Also look up Fenn's Treasure. I listened to a podcast the other day about Fenn's Treasure. Everyone should go look that up too.
It's fabulous. We're giving you everything we can here, everybody. It's going to be all right. We remind everybody that, of course, you can follow this show on Twitter. That is right at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me on Twitter at Not So Humble Host. I know, Jim, that you're on Twitter because I follow you. You want to let everyone know where to follow you?
It's at Jim Widener 51, at Jim Widener 51.
I just see your picture. That's how I always know I've got you. I was like, there he is. That's Jim. All right. I don't look at the name anymore on those things. It's like, there's Jim.
Yeah, if you're into positive talk during Packers game, I'm not one to follow. And I've lost many followers this year, especially when talking about the Packers special teams, which I know we'll dive into today.
Absolutely. Aaron, I know you are also on Twitter. If you want to follow Aaron, it is an amazing ride. So, Aaron, where do people get on that ride?
You can find me at Cheddar Talk, John, at Cheddar Talk. And actually, I have a backstory for you. My new background picture on Twitter, it says, "Welcome to Cleveland." That is actually a man in Milwaukee. He lives underneath the flight path of planes landing at Milwaukee's airport is Mitchell Airport in Milwaukee. He lives underneath the flight path. So just before the planes land, his is one of the last houses you see. So he decided to paint "Welcome to Cleveland" on the top of his house to mess with people landing in Milwaukee.
Yes.
That's a troll level that I can't even, that's something else.
And it makes me want to live near
airplanes. Visible. Apparently it's extremely visible off the right side of the airplane as it's coming into Mitchell Airport. What am I doing in Cleveland? What nightmare is this?
I thought I was going somewhere fun.
It's like off a Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Nice. All right. Before we dive right in everything, I just want to tell everybody wherever it is that you do listen to this podcast, please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. And with that, we're going to close up our opening little segment here, and we'll move into what we like to call the main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, everybody. We're here. We're going to do our annual Requiem to a Packer season. And if I had the rights to the music, I'd play a Mozart Requiem or probably Verdi, because the Dies Irae from Verdi's Requiem is better. It just is. And my mom might be listening as my dad plays this in the kitchen in the morning or something, but the Verdi is better. It just is. Mozart's Requiem is my mom's favorite piece. So, I mean, she can be wrong. It's okay. But we're going to start off just like the biggest things from the season to pull away from this, I think, can be really summed up in who got fired. And to be entirely clear, Pettine was not fired. He just did not get a new contract because his contract ran out. But it's really weird.
Not perfectly.
Yeah, it's really weird that happened that way, because you never let a defensive coordinator get to the last year of their contract. Apparently they'd offered him a chance to renew something last year, and he didn't. So it's like the exact opposite of Flacco.
It's very Milton off Office Space. Like he apparently has only been getting paid because of a glitch for the last 4 years. So
we fixed the error.
We fixed the glitch. Yeah. It'll work itself out.
Well, hopefully Russ Ball is checking for his staplers after Mike left the building. It was jeez.
Don't let him have the cockroach poison and don't let him walk out unaccompanied. He's going to burn his face to the ground.
I used to be over by the window, and I could see the squirrels, and I was married.
I think the squirrels were married. Isn't that what he says? I could see the squirrels, and they were married.
Doesn't he say, "And I was married"? Oh, anyways, but anyway, whatever.
I'm going to rewatch it now. Now I have to rewatch it. I always thought he said, "And they were married."
So basically what we're referring to here is that Pettine basically just got let go like Milton from Office Space. He'll we'll just stop paying him and he'll go away.
Yeah, he got swing lined here. But the other thing that makes this like the gift that keeps on giving, I don't know if anybody else read this story, it came out today. The Chicago Bears are looking at bringing Pettine on as a defensive advisor, not as the coordinator, but as somebody else to advise Nagy more about defense, because he's not a defensive minded guy. But they've got a defensive coordinator. Actually, the defensive coordinator just quit, didn't he?
They just promoted their safeties coach, something or other.
And they wanted somebody else to give extra eyes on the defense for Nagy.
Missing the best part of the story is if they hire him, he's going to be an advisor for the Bears defense. And the Lions just hired Dom Capers to be an advisor for their defense.
Oh my God. They're all looking for something secret about it, I guess, which Capers is so many years back now. What's even the point?
So what was Pagano the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator?
Defense.
Yeah.
He retired.
There was a comment that I made on Twitter is that basically the situation's so bad in Chicago that Chuck Pagano, who defeated cancer, is quitting his fight with the Chicago Bears. Yes.
Worth doing. Save your reputation.
What is it with the retreads in the NFC? Like, have the Packers, besides the one time we signed Keith Millard back in the 90s, back in the Bryce Pop, Keith Woodside days.
Gosh.
Have we ever signed a Vikings player or a Vikings coach or anything like that? Because otherwise, it just seems like all Packers things go to everyone else.
Their defensive back coach, Jerry Gray.
Great point. Okay, that was a deep get. Yeah. That was a deep get.
You're talking about just players, too? I can't think of players that have gone the other way.
Well, Jim McMahon came to the Packers at the end.
As a Bears, there have been several Bears. Steve McMichael came over to the Packers.
That's right. McMichael did, too. Yeah, that's right.
Mongo?
Yeah. I got his autograph on a card. While he was going to the stadium,
those guys are also, these are all people that were signed as like backups at the end. Keith Millard is the only one that I can think of that was signed to come be a starter for the Packers, and that was the dark days of the Packers too. There was two dark decades of the Packers that I was too young to remember or not born. But I mean, it doesn't reciprocate. It's like Packers players and coaches go out to the NFC North all the time, but we never, because it's like we're feeding them. Weird.
Yeah, at least
I think that's the only one. Jerry Gray has got to be. I can't think of a player that flipped. I Jerry Gray's the only coach that I can even think of.
That one's probably more weird because they've had, like, the Vikings and Bears have had better defenses than the Packers over the last couple decades now, and you think that would be a spot where we might have tried to steal some of their guys. We don't want their recent defensive guys to come over here because.
That's what I found bizarre with Zimmer's always had a good defense. I mean, like him or not, I just found it bizarre that he cut ties with Jerry Gray, who did a very good job with the Vikings with Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith.
Well, and the Packers secondary was excellent this year too. Minus one major play before halftime of the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, one or two little spots here or there. Yeah.
Think of a better cornerback in the league right now than Jair Alexander. I think
he's the best. Yeah.
Luckily he got to go head to head with Jalen Ramsey, and that worked well.
No. Savage even had a great year.
And got better as the year went on, at least too.
Yeah.
Okay, so why was Redmond the one in place for the two interceptions and couldn't get it done? Sorry.
I don't know. Weird picks here and there. So Sean Menenga, the special teams coordinator, this was also not a strong suit. This is actually way worse for the Packers. We're looking it up. The DVOAs, as everyone listening to this show has heard several times, we bring up the DVOA a lot. It's a Football Outsiders metric measuring basically a weighted way of measuring, because if you went up against a ton of really bad special teams groups, your special teams might look better or get better raw numbers, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're that great. Packers are 25th in the DVOA for special teams. They had the number one offense. Their defensive ratings also not great, but they were 17th. So they're very middling. Vikings were 18th. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Almost like right there and smack dab in the middle. Seattle, Green Bay, Minnesota is the 16, 17, 18 on that list. And Packers were 14th last year and 17th this year. They're middling defense over the last couple of years.
And the special teams that you didn't, it makes sense with the firing because you don't see it because Jay Scott didn't punt that much this year. As well noted, Aaron Rodgers threw more touchdowns than he punted this year. And that's usually where you see the most glaring thing is on punting, not punt returns per se, but punting. That's where a lot of special team things show up really bad. Now, there were a lot of big kickoff returns against the Packers this year too. And then you just don't see it on kickoffs. And if you're returning the punts, as long as you're not dropping the punt return, it doesn't look bad. But so since JK didn't punt that much, you didn't get to see a bad punting unit.
Well, he wasn't that good this year.
They got gouged a lot on kickoffs this year.
Yeah.
But like John just said, I mean, even with him not punting as much, he had a middle of the season a struggle again, like right. he had the year before, J.K. Scott. And right. once again, they didn't breed a new punt returner or kick returner. I mean, my God, at the end of the year, they were Jamal Williams was returning kicks.
It was all Tavon right.
Austin, you were just hoping he would fair catch it. I mean, it was a disaster. I mean, and it's fitting. You know who recommended Menenga for the job? To LaFleur.
I'm forgetting who that was. Was it McVay?
Patton.
Oh, Patton. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, because he coached under Patton. He was an assistant special teams coordinator with Patton in Cleveland.
Well, what they're basically just going to
so
do
maybe,
is...
Maybe they got to deal with U-Hauls when they moved. So.
Yeah, there you go. Buy one, get one free. Hopefully they still have a voucher for more after this.
Well, at this point, they don't have to worry about anybody moving, getting that spot filled, because it looks like Maurice Drayton is going to move from assistant special teams coordinator to special teams coordinator. So, yeah. I mean, we just moved him one spot up. We'll just hire basically everybody just moves up and we'll hire somebody at the bottom.
Not to interrupt again, but
no, go ahead.
It's just crazy. Not that the guy's going to do a good job. And there was a great article about him on footballscoop.com about him, you know, making him, you know, building himself up through the coaching ranks. But he was not only an assistant to Menenga, but he was an assistant to Ron Zook for his last year, for God's sakes.
Oh, that's
so
bad.
I mean, maybe he comes up with, you know, new ideas, which they've said, but hey, where John, were those ideas to help out the unit when he was an assistant? I just don't get it.
Hey John, did you mark that time down to edit out Jim? He said the nasty Z word. You can't say the Z word on the show anymore.
Yeah, that was
Zook is a bad word. We don't say Zook on this show.
We don't like
anymore,
to talk like that. There might be children out there.
The coach previous to Ron, or excuse me, to Sean Menenga.
Yeah.
How come it's so hard to find a good special teams coordinator? It seems like what is it that about that position? I'm trying to think about this. Like there's some general natural progressions in a lot of positions. Like you want to be a head, you want to be an offensive coordinator. You have to have been the quarterback's coach, right? I mean, like that's the thing you did before you were the offensive coordinator. Before you get to that, you probably did either wide receivers or running backs, but then moved to quarterback. And like defense, too. You want somebody who has defensive back mentality. You want one of those types of guys, generally speaking, has at least moved from defensive backs or the new thing, the what do they call it, passing coordinators. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, there's not like the, oh, no. Before you were the special teams coordinator, you were the punt coach or something. Like, trying to figure out like the natural progression for some of these guys, and it seems to be like figure a way to be an assistant for somebody who's pretty good and try to move in. And what we've got is a guy who's an assistant to somebody who is not good, and he's going to move up. I guess we're just hoping.
Here's something I heard the other day, and it's not apples to apples because it's not our team, but as I'm everyone knows, if you listen to this podcast, I listen to KFan, I listen to the Power Trip Morning Show, and they had Lieber on the other day, and the Vikings promoted their assistant special teams coach to special teams coach, who had been under Mike Prefer, who is with the Browns now. Mike Prefer got let go, not for being a bad coach in Minnesota, he was a pretty good special teams coach in Minnesota, and they were talking about
that human being.
He was a trash human being. But and so basically what they said is that this last guy, Maloof, that was in there, special teams coach for the Vikings, who was equally as terrible this last year, like they brought him in instead of promoting the other guy, because sometimes organization, and they did this too, they were talking about with Stefanski in Minnesota, how they brought in DeFilippo for that 1 year rather than just promoting Stefanski right away, because you want to bring in that shiny, fancy object instead of just promoting from within. And then after you bring in that fancy object and it doesn't work, you're like, I guess we should have just went with what we had in the first place. And it's I don't know, it seems like that organization is probably more prone to making those kind of stupid mistakes than the Packers are, but I don't know.
You make a great point though, because when LaFleur hired Menenga, he wanted to promote, I mean, this is the speculation, he wanted to promote Drayton. But the Packers were against that and said you need to go outside the outside the program or the organization. And then for some reason, he went to Mike Pettine after, you know, his great game against the Niners in 2019. And he said, well, you should, well, no, at 2018, when Pettine got all this control after the one decent year when he was on McCarthy staff, he said, well, you should hire my buddy Meninga. And it turned out to backfire. So, you know, maybe it works out with Drayton. I hope it does. He seems like, you know, he's somebody you want to root for. So I'm all for it, I guess. I mean, it's...
I just want to see Travis Jervey be his assistant. Can we ask that Travis Jervey be an assistant special teams coordinator? Come on. He ought to be able to translate it down to people. It's like, I play
special teams. Any guy that takes his braces off with the pliers, he's got to be your special teams coordinator.
Well, and not only that, but Chuck Cecil is coaching defense out in Arizona right now at a college. So can we get Chuck Cecil back too? So, but to your point though, I mean, the one coach that we've, the only one that we've had any problems with since LaFleur got here, out of all the LaFleur hires, the only one that we've had a problem with is the one that LaFleur didn't hire, and that's Mike Pettine.
Yeah, I guess.
I can't say a real bad thing about anybody else he hired, except like you just said, you know, we hired based on a recommendation. They hired on a recommendation from Pettine, you know, on top of it too. So it's like, I trust LaFleur's ability to pick people around him. So maybe that's a good thing that Meninga's can, and just the fact that he was under Ron Zook, I mean, so what he got, sorry, you know,
we'll move right into that. Then we'll talk about Pettine. Here's the thing, where like Packers Twitter over the last 2 weeks has been kind of an insane cesspool of weird ideas. First off, there's the group. They're like, we need to fire Pettine, which, you know, I would have been upset if they didn't let him go after what he had played this year and done with this team. And then there's the group that says, like, well, he's got no players. That defense is not good. Well, that group's the craziest people, because, you know, we'll also point out how good Kenny Clark is at the same point and try to tell everybody how, you know, Jair Alexander's the best corner in football and we all love Z and Gary and this and that. And you're like, but then at the same time, try to say that nobody on the defense is any good. Like, that defense has a lot of players that can play. You got Amos. I mean, like, there's a lot of talent.
Their individual talent is really good. Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, you, like you said, Clark, Gary, Smith, Savage, Amos, like you just said, Alexander, like we were talking about, you know.
Yeah. Even Sullivan.
Best cornerback right now.
Yeah. And King would be good if you don't put him press coverage on an obvious touchdown throwing play at the end of the half. I mean, like,
well, with no help. If he'd had a safety too deep, he'd have been fine in that spot. But yeah, it's just crazy. No, I mean, like, that defense was not the sum of their parts. They were something less than the sum of their parts on that one, and that's what gets you. Like, a good defense coordinator can make you better than the sum of your parts, but this team was worse than the sum of their parts in this game, in this year, in this whole year. There were three people who have already come in and interviewed. They were not the names that the three of us had talked about beforehand. Joe Barry, the current defensive passing game coordinator for now the LA Chargers, but he had been with the Rams most recently. Chris Harris, who is the defensive backs coach for the Washington football team, or as we like to call them, the Washington team of footballers, so they can be WTF. And the other one, I'm going to have to hold this up and make sure I read this. Njiro Evero. And I looked up how to say that too. And it's not Evero, it's Evero.
He was with the Packers in 2016 as a defensive quality guy. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And he's been the safeties coach.
Is that a Greek name?
What's that?
Is that Greek?
I don't know what that one is from. He doesn't look Greek.
I think it's Sudanese almost.
Okay.
Sudanese Somalian.
Okay. Yeah.
They're very right interesting on. Groups here. I mean, like, some of these guys are kind of interesting.
And they reached out to Chris Richard today too.
Okay. The ones that I already had, like, here's the big thing that I want to see, and this is me personally, is I'm interested in finding out if any of these guys have play calling experience, because they're going to be put on a team with an offensive minded head coach. And that's just, it's not been you know, there's a reason why the team was hoping he'd keep on Pettine, is because they wanted somebody there who knew about this, who knew about doing this, exactly this. Yeah, he was with Capers back in 2016 on this Packers group, and this is Evero we're talking about still. He was actually, if I'm trying to get this right, which one was which? Because there's, you know, I've been bouncing through these guys a little bit. I want to make sure I'm talking to the right guys in this one. He was with San Francisco Quality Control in 2011. He then went on two seasons as an offensive assistant as well. 2012, 2013 was working mostly in offensive stuff. So it's interesting to see that he kind of made that switch. Directed a defensive unit, ranked fifth in total defense and pass in 2014 when he was San Francisco. I mean, he was part of that San Francisco group, so he's got the same kind of, I guess, chops that we're looking at with our head coach. Joe Barry was one of the interesting ones on here because he's actually, he's been a defensive coordinator.
I think he was with the Lions. I think his father-in-law is Rod Marinelli.
Okay, yeah, he was a defensive coordinator with the Lions in 07 and 08, and he was also a defensive coordinator with the then, you know, the Washington team in 2015 and 16. He was also, this is the one that's kind of interesting, he was working with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a linebackers coach when they won the Super Bowl. He was there from 2001 through 2006. That's what gave him that jump to the defensive coordinator spot in 07-08 with the Lions. He's been a couple different spots. He's done a lot with linebackers, which makes it a little different than what he'd been doing, but he has been working as a passing game coordinator recently. He's kind of, I guess, in my mind, one of the ones I'm more interested in among the guys they talked to today. I don't know what you guys think about some of these guys, but I mean, like, this guy's been a linebackers coach, which is different what you think of. Evero is in there too, because having the safety coach experience, Harris has been an actual defensive backs coach, and that Washington defense was pretty good. That kind of kept them in this year, and that's one of the reasons why they actually won that crap division. Even when they had to fire somebody who had been their starting quarterback at part of the season, halfway through the season, or most of the way through the season, I guess, but still just waiting to fire Dwayne Haskins most of the year, and they still made it to the playoffs and played right with Tampa Bay, and, you know, all the way to the end there with their fourth quarterback of the year or whatever. So, yeah.
Jim, you're going to have to talk on this one because right now I'm going to be Cliff Clavin on Jeopardy and say, these are five people who have never been in my kitchen.
No, it's
I have no idea who John's talking about.
Yeah. It's an interesting net they're throwing out because most of the new coaches that have been hired have already got their staffs in place. So right now LaFleur's got his pick of the litter because nobody else that was late into the playoffs and that are still playing are looking for a defensive coordinator. So he's thrown out a wide net, which I really like. So, I mean, Chris Richard, the three guys they're interviewing now, they're going to probably interview a couple of the guys from the Bucs when they're done playing in the Super Bowl. Mike Caldwell, their linebackers coach, their defensive line coach, I think it's Casey Rogers. They're going to probably be expected, you know, they've been with Todd Bowles, who had a great year coordinating the Buccaneers defense. Excuse me. So I think he's going to throw out a wide net. Chris Richard, who I like, I thought he did a good job when he was with Seattle. I think he got blamed for a lot of the Cowboys issues when he was the 1 year their defensive play caller. I mean, obviously after what they saw out of Mike Nolan, it looks like he did a very good job compared to Mike Nolan. And I think that, you know, obviously the one we're going to talk about and the one that should be interviewed is Jim Leonard. He's done at Wisconsin, and it's not a homer pick. And I wrote this for Last Word on Sports a couple months ago when I came out with an early list of candidates to replace Pettine. He's a 10-year veteran. He learned under Rex Ryan. I suppose he learned under Pettine, but the difference is Leonard was successful at Wisconsin. He runs a pro defense. Yep. It's a 3-4 style defense, and which I would, you know, as most people know, that the defenses they run now are nickels, a nickel package in the defense in the NFL. But the fact that he's right in Wisconsin, He's a 10-year veteran, a very intelligent guy, and what he's done. I mean, that's an NFL-style defense he's running at Madison. Yeah. He should be interviewed, and I would think would be one of the top choices, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
That's one that definitely...
Jimmy Leonard, who played against Aaron Flottam in high school football.
There you go.
Yes, we like bringing that up, too. That's good, but he got the better of you, I think. No, that's...
Now, I don't know if he'd be interested. I mean, maybe he wants to stay in Madison.
I don't know. It'd be a great pickup.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be hard for a kid from Glen Floro, Wisconsin, which is population 100, just east of Ladysmith, population 3,000, which is just 60 miles north of Eau Claire, 50,000, you know, back in the woods, to be told that your hometown team would like you to come and be their defensive coordinator. That'd be a hard one to turn down. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
But, I mean, obviously he deserves an interview if he wants it. I mean, I would think would be a very good choice.
It's the only place I'd be happy with him going.
Well, it's not going to be the easiest thing to walk into because you're not bringing your own people in because that staff is going to stay intact. Mike Smith, Jerry Montgomery, Jerry Gray, those guys aren't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So you're just coming in to coordinate a defense with a staff you've never even worked with.
His play calling is very good in game. So that's one thing that I do like. He's got a very good sense of when to bring pressure, where to bring pressure. He's inventive with the way he does it. He doesn't have set plays that you're like, well, we just play like they're just going to keep running this stunt. Just look out for the stunt. He changes things up. He's a very good in-game play caller, and it's the only place, like I said, that I would like to see him go if he ever leaves Wisconsin. But I would love him to stay there.
It'd be a demotion too, but I would love, I mean, could he come be the Packer? And I know we already have one, but could he come be the Packer special teams coordinator? Because Jimmy Leonard was excellent on special teams. That's how he made his sandwiches. That was the bread of his sandwiches that got him to be a starter in the long run, was that he was a special teams. I would love to see it. The other thought I had when, and this isn't trying to be morbid in any sense, but like the first thing I thought when, I saw Penton was gone. God, Kevin Green went too soon. Yeah. Like, I've wanted Kevin Green back on this team ever since he left. I don't know if he could be a good D coordinator, but I don't know if he could whip up the defense. But, that was a tough loss, and he meant so much to that.
Yeah, so the other name that comes up a lot in this so far has been Wade Phillips is the other Twitter favorite. I don't know that he gets an interview. The one thing I will say is, he has connections to Matt LaFleur and McVay. He's played with McVay, or he's coached under McVay. He was out there in LA around the time that LaFleur was out there. It would be interesting to see. I don't know that he'll get an interview, but that's one thing that people like. He brings in a 3-4.
He was also fired by Sean McVay too.
But not by LaFleur. So who knows?
But the other thing you got to think about with Wade too is, I mean, this is not ageist at all, anyways, because everyone gets old. We don't get younger, but I mean, Wade's getting up there, man.
Yeah,
that's 73.
He's a guy who could come in for a year or two, maybe. That's it. If you want a longer run, because you've got a younger head coach, there's a couple other names out there. One other that I find interesting that's come up a little bit. I don't know. I mean, he hasn't been brought in for an interview, but it's an interesting name. Terrell Austin, currently the senior defensive assistant and the secondary coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's been with both Baltimore and Pittsburgh. He's also was part of the 2014 through 2017 Detroit Lions defenses. Guy's been around. He's worked with a lot of different type of stuff. He does know the 3-4 defense very well. He's going to get a defensive coordinator spot here sometime soon. He's a guy who's, like I said, he's been with Baltimore and Pittsburgh in a couple of their good runs here. That defense carried that Pittsburgh team for quite a while they couldn't figure out their offense. It would be a very interesting interview. He'd be somebody I'd be interested in seeing come in. Again, he's one of those guys who was a special teams, or not special teams, probably a defensive backs coach. But he also brings with him the fact that he's like the senior defensive assistant over there. He's been put into those positions of having more responsibility and putting together that game plan for that Pittsburgh defense. It would be an interesting hire to have him come in. just to throw another name out here in terms of a long reach, just a long reach, and then I want you guys to comment on these. D'Amico Ryans is one of the like back there names of up-and-coming guys. He's the 49ers inside linebacker coach. Doesn't have any play-calling experience. He's probably not anywhere near it, but it's an interesting name. I like D'Amico.
He just got promoted to the Niners defense coordinator position.
Did he get the D coordinator? So. Okay.
Yeah, because with Robert, how do you pronounce
Sala.
It?
Yeah, Sala went off to the Jets.
Yeah. I Chris Hewitt from the Ravens, who's their pass defense coordinator, who's been with them for 8 years and worked under Wink Martindale, or Don Martindale. I think his nickname's Wink. It would be a good fit. And Gutekunst is right-hand man. Milt Hendrickson comes from Baltimore. So that's another name there.
Well, that'd be interesting, too.
D'Amico Ryans, wasn't he just on the field like 3-4 years ago?
No.
He was still playing not too long ago, right?
Yeah.
When you just said his name, I didn't even realize he was a coach. I was like, the Vikings just hired the receiver that played for Jacksonville forever.
Keenan McCardell.
And I was like, that dude's not playing anymore because he played for like 20 years. And I was like, oh, they signed Keenan McCardell. Oh, no. He's the coach now. Okay, got it. All right.
Yeah, it's been a minute since he's been on the field.
Yeah. I think it was Peter Bukowski from Acme Packing.
Okay.
And Locked On Packers had a good article about it. It depends on what you're going to see. If LaFleur thinks their defense isn't that far off and they just needed somebody with different ideas, then you might see somebody within the coaching staff already. Like Mike Smith or Jerry Gregg at the job. It depends on how far he thinks that defense is off. So
it'll be fun to watch.
And John, I don't talk in text with the Packer coaching staff as much as I used to, but it's not the Packer, like a lot of other teams bring in these special advisors. It's not really a Packer thing to do that, right? Like I don't remember any time we've ever had a special advisor, because I'd say that someone like Wade Phillips, like if they want to pony up the money to have him come in and be like an advisor to a defensive coordinator who might not have the play calling experience, that'd be brilliant.
Because like what Patton's going to do. Wade
can call a game. Like there's no doubt about it. And he has the experience to do it. He couldn't head coach his way out of a brown paper bag, wet paper bag, excuse me, whichever. Anyway. But I mean, he was an excellent defensive coordinator for a number of years. And
Even if he just came in and did the week, the game planning stuff and then didn't have to call anything or do anything on game day, it'd be a thought.
Just like coaching up a coach on who may be a little bit rusty on game calling, how to do it. I mean, that's not a Packer. I don't remember if we've ever had an advisor per se. Like I can't think of one. I know like under McCarthy, we had an assistant head coach at one point, but that was about it.
Yeah, and that didn't go anywhere either. That was weird. Now, a lot of teams do that as like ways of signaling somebody who should get promoted. Right. But I don't think we've done that anytime recently, at least. It looks like what we talked about Patton's going to be doing for the Bears and what Kubiak did for the Vikings offense this year. He was not the offensive coordinator. He was I think he was at one point, but he ended up being just like an advisor to the offensive coordinator and then moved on.
His first year, he was an advisor. Stefanski called the plays. Yeah. This year he was the offense coordinator.
Yeah, then he left. He's done with it.
And now they're going to hire his son like they do in Minnesota where they just what do they call that? When you hire a relative?
Nepotism.
Yeah. Nepotism ramp. Garden hires, so the St. Paul Saints became a D3 team now, or a AAA team.
Okay.
And they hired Garden hires son to be the Saints coach. Or manager, and it's just like the nepotism is just ridiculous in Minnesota for all sports. I mean, you got Flip Sanders' kid running the Timberwolves. Anyways, back to the Packers.
Okay,
got a rip on Minnesota there for a second. Sorry, Jim. I know you're on that side of the border, so I laughed.
All right, so we'll
hiring an advisor kind of it kneecaps. No pun intended. Jeff Campbell, the actual coordinator. So I don't know if that's the way to go.
I didn't think Adam Gase could be outdone for the worst entrance interview ever as a head coach, and then along comes Campbell, and it's my God.
Yeah, but it only took a week before Campbell to get usurped. Did you see the Eagles press conference?
Yeah, that was head coach? That was painful. here comes our guy. He's a great communicator, and he's good at talking. Here he is. Hello, everybody. Let me look at my notes.
Who did they hire?
All of you.
The Colts offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni, I think. I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, Sirianni.
I highly recommend YouTubing that.
So Frank Wright, who was the offensive coordinator of the Eagles, went to the Colts, got an offensive coordinator who went back to the Eagles to be their head coach.
Yep. You want to talk about nepotism?
That's more breeding than the English royal family.
Howie Roseman goes to the same singles bar every time he needs somebody.
All right, so we've talked about the coaching stuff. The things that we're going to talk about just in terms of personnel, big changes I see is I don't think Kirksey's coming back, especially with what we've gotten out of Martin and Barnes. I mean, he was nice for the parts of the year he was there. I think King, just for the money, he's not going to be back, and I don't think that we're going to be seeing Jones. I just don't see how it works in any sort of financial way. Now, the one thing, here's what people are going to be talking about. If you haven't already heard this, the way the salary cap is structured, I know you two guys know this already, but for listeners, it's based on percentages of income. All the income went down this year because there were basically no tickets and there was no merchandise sales for games, and there was no, you know, nobody bought a hot dog for the most part in a lot of places. So yeah, all the stuff is down. Based on the pure numbers, the salary cap's going to drop from about $195 million to $176
million.
Jeez. Which currently means that like half the league is over the cap for next year.
That is a franchise quarterback.
Right.
In salary cap.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the Lions paying their one quarterback twice because the amount of money they're still paying Stafford and then paying to Goff. But anyhow.
Or double what the Vikings invest in their offensive line.
Yeah.
But yes.
But the big thing is the players union and the NFL are in talks right now to basically essentially create a separate rule for this next year to try to keep the cap just kind of frozen. It's not going to go up, but if they can keep it around $195 million, partially because the owners have some vested interest in keeping it stable, they understand they're losing money on it, but they also don't want to have to gut their teams from what they've been building. I mean, half the league would have to cut people. And the players union wants to keep it because they'll all get all their salaries will drop.
And if everything goes as planned and we're back on a normal, which we should be by next football season. I know we said that last year.
Yeah.
But I mean 2021, 2022, I mean they're already saying buy stock in tourism industries and, you know, however,
and GameStop
and sports industries and games and all this stuff like that. Because what's you say?
No. BlackBerry.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Every GameStop.
Yeah. AMC. AMC. Yeah. Anyhow. I'm with it. I know what's going on. But no, they're saying like in the long term, like once this goes away, like everyone's gonna be so ready to travel. Like, you know, it's probably in the owner's best interest to kind of stabilize the salary cap because in 2021, 2022, it's probably gonna jump way up. And they are gonna probably be like, hey, remember that time that we froze it? Instead of dropping the salary cap, instead of jumping it way up this year for this roller coaster, how about we just keep it even for two straight years and we call it good?
So, yeah, it's gonna be fine. I mean,
that is the last bottom original take. I didn't hear that from anybody.
Right, and I believe the league year technically starts somewhere around like March 17th in terms of actually getting that done. So expect it somewhere around mid March. The Ides of March is right around the time you'll see them actually finalize whatever agreement they'll have in terms of what the cap will be for next year. Because even though there's been a trade announced during Super Bowl week, that actually can't happen. You can't make trades right now. So the trade for Stafford that's been announced isn't actually official technically and should never have been announced. And if you were the Bucks, they would have made sure that they couldn't do it.
You lost a second round pick, yes.
Yeah. And they'd punish you for doing this. Because this happens all the time, but that trade is
Jim, Milwaukee Bucks is what we're talking. Yeah, get that? Okay, got it. All right, sorry.
Yeah,
I'm a listener.
No, I know you're here for the Packer talk, but yes.
No, it's fine.
Yeah,
but I think this what's going to put teams in holes, and you can make the argument with the way that Gutekunst drafted last year, where he you know, you're drafting people not for the next couple years, but maybe 3-4 years down the road. So it might put the Packers a little bit in a hole because of the fact that they can't sign Lindsley, Jones, which they actually, with A.J. Dillon, they have that. So it'll be interesting to see how the salary cap plays out and what players they can't afford. And, you know, they've talked about with Rodgers that they'll convert his money into roster bonuses to help with the ease of the cap. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Or they'll trade him. Just cheating. That'll never happen. That's the dumbest storyline available.
I'm glad that the Rams announced that they made a hard run for Aaron Rodgers today. That was very nice of them.
What was the benefit of Gutekunst coming out and saying that didn't happen?
Just to maybe shut everybody else up. I don't know. Yeah. It'd be better if they converted Aaron Rodgers' salary into gold doubloons. That'd be fun.
You have to find those or mint those yourself at this point. Yeah. Yes. I don't know. I mean, Lindsley's the big one that I think is going to be interesting, depending on what happens with the cap, because you'd love to keep him. Jones, you let him go. In terms of finances, you're not going to get back from a running back what you pay into it, because we are going to actually have to try to see whether or not they even keep Jamal Williams.
I'm now convinced this is on his end.
So, I mean, if they can't keep Jamal Williams, then yeah, we're running way low on running backs in that point, and we'd have like Dillon, and then we're gonna have to draft somebody. We'd probably have to pick up a running back or two somewhere, right?
So we're not a destitute poverty team like a lot of other places are, and Dallas pretends they're not, but they are. What about like franchise tags and stuff like? I can't remember the last time we used a franchise tag on a player.
Teams don't like doing it. It makes players angry. You don't want to do it if you don't have to.
Right, you don't want to do it if you don't have to, but I mean, at the same time, for a one-year deal, that player actually gets a pretty decent salary because it's what, based on the top five.
Well, who are you talking about tagging though?
Lindsley and or Jones.
Not Jones. I wouldn't do it for Jones. That cap number is gonna be crazy.
Lindsley might be interesting though, because what does the top center make in the NFL?
I'm just trying to see.
I mean, that could easily be explained off to him too as, hey man, we're going to franchise tag you so we can pay you a decent amount. And once the salary cap thing after COVID year gets straightened out, we, you know, let's talk again next year. You know,
see, that would be the interesting player for me for tagging is.
I mean, Lindsley's completely worth it. I mean, so we're going to have a problem here in a couple of years between Bakhtiari's contract, what Lindsley's going to want, and what Elgin Jenkins is going to deserve.
Here we go. I'll give you some of this here for the numbers. So for offensive line, the franchise tag number is 14.1. To transition tag, it's 12.8. I'm sorry, 14. Yeah, 14.1 and 12.8.
Now, does that matter what position they play?
No, it just says O-line based on I'm looking at SpotTrac right now. So for running back, it's 10.8 to tag for the 1 year. So, and then if you wanted to use that transition tag, so yeah, 10.8 to franchise tag your running back, 8.7 to transition tag your running back. 10.8 is a lot of money to put in a running back for 1 year, depending on the space.
John, we lost you there for a second. Yeah. How much would it be for the franchise and transition on a center?
On a center, it doesn't matter for O-line. It's just 14.1 and 12.8.
Because left tackles are going to throw that curve off.
Yeah, and I'm basing that off of, like I said, SpotTrac is where, or I'm sorry, I'm on Over the Cap at this point. So that's where those numbers come from. Quarterback, it's 23.5 million to tag.
Washington did that for a couple of years. It
Kirk Cousins look like a genius because he just kept finding the tag.
Well, and it keeps going up. If you do it a second year, it goes up, actually.
Cousins' superpower is making teams think that he's good.
I want the power.
He's not bad. But anyways, disclaimer, he's not that bad.
He's not bad. He's just not that great.
Top 15, maybe top 10. Anyhow, but he's not great. So I guess in the fact of Lindsley, and I like Lindsley as much as anybody, and I think Lindsley is a very, like I said, there's another player coming down the pipe here that's going to need to get paid, and Bakhtiari already got paid, and how much money are you going to sink into Lindsley, Jenkins, and Bakhtiari? And frankly, for my money, I think long term you got to get Jenkins. Yes. Like He's like, that's not a shot at Lindsley. Lindsley is an all pro. He's a pro bowler. Elton Jenkins is unbelievable. Like, that dude's he's a generational lineman. Like,
and he's a second year player.
Won't go Nate Newton yet, but he's really good.
Yeah.
And he can play anywhere. Like, without at any point, like, okay, go play right tackle, go play left guard, play center, play left tackle. He can do it all. Like, he's unbelievable. You know, I don't know.
I think that he's an obvious, you know, if replacement to Lindsley, if Lindsley walks, and you're probably going to get the same level of play.
You can put Runyon in a guard then.
What's that?
You get Runyon over a guard then too.
And Lane Taylor comes back next year too.
Yeah. Yeah.
At guard. So, I mean, you do have, you know, replacements. And hey, I like Aaron Jones, and I think he can change a play or change a game in one of his runs. I mean, just like that. But it's the NFL isn't, you know, go ask the Vikings when they did it with Adrian Peterson. You don't pay that much for a running back. Now you just don't.
Right. They're going to be paying Cook next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're paying Cook for the next couple of years too, anybody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean the Packers could potentially draft somebody in the third round this year or fourth round. That's another running back that was just like Jones. And it's just, it's literally like a chain. Just keep putting that next guy in. I mean, there's a reason Dylan came out of college with a lot of carries on him, and the Packers did a pretty good job. And against the Titans, he looked great. But I mean, you almost think that they didn't run him that much to like give his legs a rest for like 1 year, because hey, guess what? You're gonna get your ass run for the next 2 years on this team.
And he had COVID.
That bit too. But yeah.
And obviously Aaron Jones is a really good running back, but is the drop off that big? Playing devil's advocate on this, going with Dylan, and he re-signed Jamal Williams to a cap friendly deal.
And then you see who's available in the third round at running back too. Yeah. It's the dollars. It's the cold economics of what is the value of that position compared to the amount of money you're investing in that compared to your line. Yeah.
And the thing is, as a Packer fan, as an Aaron Jones fan, I don't want him to go. But at the same time, with the limited amount of opportunities running backs have anymore, if someone gives you a big contract that doesn't have a big quarterback salary or something, go take it. Do it. Go get your money off this game before this game eats you alive. You know, it's just, I mean, I love the guy to death, but if he can get a bigger contract somewhere else, then God bless you. Go do it, you know.
Okay. We're running up against time. I think we'll just put everything else in the last call here. But what I want to do is say, like, just in general, if you give me one or two spots in the draft, drafting for need, which is not what you want to do, but if you're drafting for need, what are the kind of the one or two spots that you want to put the most emphasis on at this point? We'll start with you, Jim, as our guest.
Oh my.
Yeah.
You mean one or two positions? I never thought I would say this, but I don't think wide receiver is one of them. I think you've got to go find a defensive tackle to play with Kenny Clark.
Okay.
I think that's probably number one. And you're going to have to start looking at a quality backup tackle. And so those are my two, because I think Rick Wagner might be on. I think he did a solid job this year, and I think Billy Turner did a remarkable job. Mm-hmm. But I think you're going to have to get a young tackle who can be your long-term, because eventually I think Billy Turner's contract's going to be prohibitive to keep. So you're going to have to get, unless you think Elton Jenkins is your right tackle. So I would say defensive tackle, offensive line, and then cornerback after what we saw, because I don't think Kevin King obviously is going to be back. Shannon Sullivan's got some issues. Josh Jackson didn't turn out the way it is. So those are my three.
Okay. Aaron, what do you think? What would you look at most at this point?
Well, it's going to be boring, but I think Jim stepped on my touchdown call right there. number one, a big old hog Molly to go right next to him. But the Packers can't draft him in the first round, because the Packers drafting in the first round for defensive alignment outside of B.J. Raji, who ended up quitting early because he didn't want to play football anymore.
And Clark.
We don't, what's that?
And Clark, who was a first rounder.
Was he?
Yep.
Yeah, it's, I think it was Thompson's last first round draft pick.
Yep.
Oh, God. Okay, well, that one. Shoot. Okay. Well, go get some of the... I forgot Clark was a first round pick.
Yep.
How did I forget that?
I don't know.
Maybe because it was Ted Thompson's last draft, and that was after a bad year. But anyways, someone besides Kenny Clark, and I know you don't get Aaron Donald's in the bottom of the first round, but you know, anyone that can, you know, help Kenny Clark out, because Kenny Clark can be a very dynamic inside player as long as he's not getting triple teamed, which he is all the time. And then, like Jim said, you know, like we were just discussing, like, do you sign Lindsley or do you save that money and go with Runyon, various others? Go find somebody else, you know, and Billy Wagner, Billy Turner, they did admirable down the road, but you know, like, get them some help.
Okay.
You know, get that cornerback too. Jim hit it on the head. I mean, the only other thing is, like, if, you know, what we learned with Justin Jefferson with the Vikings is if someone starts falling that low and you can go get some hyper dynamic receiver.
And I understand. I'm saying, like, this is essentially a scenario where a player falls to you at each of the positions that you would like. Basically, I mean, like, the draft is going to fall how it falls, and you got to, that's a different scenario there than mock drafting it.
My wish list one would be a super dynamic linebacker. Like,
yes,
for the first time in how many decades or since
Nick Barnett Matthews and Johnny
drafted. Holland played, you know, or Brian Noble, you know.
I think you make a great point with, you know, I know Chris Barnes had a solid year, and that was, you know, great story, undrafted free agent who became, you know, their signal caller and things like that. I would like to see a playmaker at inside linebacker finally.
I want to see somebody as good as either of the two inside linebackers playing in Tampa this week. You know, it's like,
right?
Like, if you had a player like Levante David playing inside linebacker for this team, it would completely change the defense. Or Devin White, because I
know that our linebackers are like our outside linebackers are like defensive end, just a second level linebacker that can fly around the field like those Tampa Bay. I mean, it's so fun. Everything. Like, San Francisco had it too 2 years ago. I mean, it's we need that guy. And for so long we had Blake Martinez, say what you will,
that's my number two on that. I want to get I still want like another corner to go across from Jair and really start creating that kind of defensive backfield that can just be on its own a little bit more. I think we had more of that this year and we just didn't let it play, but I want to see somebody since I think King is gone. But yeah, that dynamic linebacker would be great. And then, you know, later rounds I'd be looking for, I think we do need to, you know, get another running back in like the fourth or something, and then pick up a couple linemen, you know, second, third or fourth, somewhere in there. One or two of those have to be linemen. So that's at least my thought on that. Like I said, we're up against the clock in terms of, you know, trying to make sure we close out this Packers season. It's been a very long road. It's actually been a very fun road for most of this. It was obviously not the ending everyone hoped for, but it was largely a very enjoyable ride as we were talking about it at the time. So everything else that we have for Wisconsin sports, like we said, not quite so great this week. But we'll wrap it all up in what Aaron and I lovingly call the last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
Okay, the biggest things here we have, if we want to start with college basketball, everybody letting us down everywhere here. The Badgers, my goodness.
Bucks suck. The Badgers suck. Marquette sucks.
Marquette was the more frustrating game, I think, because they were right there with St. John's. I mean, they were down by so much at half. I was like, man, they can't even play with this team. And they came right back. They tied it at 51 almost immediately. And then they went back down like 8 or 9, and then they came right back. And then the way it ended at the end of the game, they had so many chances to get 2 points. And then the last thing they did was inbounds the ball to nobody and just throw it out of bounds. I don't understand this team. Carlton has a great ability to get in and drive to the basket and make things happen. He was doing it kind of sporadically. He didn't always do that. But, man, they had such an advantage with Garcia and Theo John.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, they just could not. They could not go in there and just use their massive height to just take over that game and just use that to their advantage. They did it in short stretches, but they did not finish the game by using their size to just take over the game from St. John's. St. John's, man, they made every contested shot. It was a ridiculous shooting night for them. Their guards play just an incredible amount of defense and just stole the ball right out of their hands a couple times too. It was a frustrating game because Marquette really should have won that game. They have now dropped three straight, sitting 8-9 in eighth place in the Big East, and they'll play Butler. The two teams are 4-7 in conference, and they will play each other coming up this week, so that'll be interesting. Marquette is favored in that one. The Badger game against Penn State is just the worst. You cannot have that game. You can't lose by 10 points to Penn State. I don't care where you're playing them. The win against Maryland, the 61-55 win over Maryland was fantastic because Maryland did a lot of things that really bothered the Badgers in that first game. I don't know if either of you watched it, but Maryland's got a young, you know, tall 7-foot guy in the middle of their defense, and he was giving Reavers just fits because Reavers really should have been able to get physical with him, but just didn't, and the finesse wouldn't work with him. He was just all over it. And for them to get that comeback win and get them that week was good, but then they followed it up with just this lackluster, no shooting sort of game where they just couldn't get anything working against Penn State. They'll get an immediate comeback game tomorrow night, the 2nd of February, where they can hopefully figure out how to play basketball again, because like this stretch to the end, like Aaron and I, we talked about this last week. They got a lot of tough games down the stretch here. They're going to get Illinois, then Nebraska, mm-hmm. Michigan, Iowa, Northwestern, Illinois, and then Purdue and Iowa to finish it. I mean, they're going to play, you know, top 25 in all but two of their last, eight games. So it's going to be a rough stretch. They got to start figuring out how to do this, and they got to get better at shooting more consistently in games. But yeah. The Bucks game, Aaron, I'm sure you watched this one today. They were terrible the other night. They figured it all out tonight.
Bobby Portis had another big game.
Bobby Portis has actually been remarkably good off the bench. He always, I don't know what it is, with his eyes, he always looks like he's very surprised by whatever has just occurred.
Yes, he does all the time.
Always.
It also makes him look happy all the time too.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he killed tonight. Like, he came off and had another big game coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. I didn't see. I'm trying to get the final score tallies here because
it was 134-106, and the Bucks. It's such a weird spread to get to 134. They scored 46 points in the first quarter, then 33, 34, and 21 in the fourth. But I mean. Yeah, Portland didn't look like they put up much of a fight. Of course, we've been doing this podcast the whole time, but I mean, Drew Holiday was number one. Imagine this in the year 2021, that there's a game against Dame Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers where Giannis is the number three scorer on it.
That's what I was trying to look up. Is he was the third leading scorer on the team today?
Yeah. Drew Holiday 22, Portis 21, Giannis 18,
and 17 for Middleton. Yeah,
pretty quiet game actually. So yeah, his brother actually had more rebounds than he did.
They played really deep.
His brother had 6 rebounds in 6 minutes, and he had 4 in 26. So
they went 9 deep on the bench in this game.
They did. I mean, everybody's got a stat in this game. So.
Yeah, I mean, 13 points from Augustine. Forbes had a really nice stretch where. He was 3 of 5 from 3-point. I mean, he played 18 minutes, was 5 of 9 from the floor, puts up 13 points. I mean, he's like your third or fourth shooting guard on the team here.
Bucks 2-4 in the last 2-4 in the last four or 2-2 in the last four games, and they're still second in the East. 76ers are having a good season. Nets are creeping up a little bit, but I mean, yeah, it's going to be one of those bits. I really feel like. You know, Giannis is kind of understated, and I think at some points I won't say it's racism or anything like that, but I think that some people take him as like too simple, like because of his accent. Like, does he not? He studies this game up and down, and he's constantly evolving, like everything about his game. And he's still raw. Like, that's the thing about Giannis. He's still raw. Like,
how old is he? I mean, he's got to be 24,
maybe. But I mean, he's still raw. He's still changing his game. He's 26 his physical abilities have made him one of the top NBA players. You know, maybe he's learned that he can't go balls to the wall right off the bat to beginning of season, like he has been for a couple of years. And maybe, I mean, he studies LeBron. LeBron and his teams. Now, right now, the Lakers are on top of the West, and don't get me wrong, they're not. They're in third in the West, barely by a half game. But I mean, you got to understand that sometimes maybe it's okay just to cruise into the playoffs as a second or third seed. You don't have to be. I mean, the best regular season record ever with Golden State resulted in a loss in the finals, and they really ran out of gas at the end, you know, because they had been just foot to the floor the whole time. And, you know, I wonder if they're, you know, with all the new talent or all the new people that they brought into this team, they've just reworked the entire roster for the most part. You wonder if they're just kind of figuring it out. And then like a game like tonight, you know, like they win big, and it's not because of Giannis, and that's good. We don't want I mean, he's a superstar, but you got to have the other people that can step up. You got to have the second, third, and fourth fiddle step up and score. And I'm super stoked that we got Bobby Portis dropping 21 and looking like an all-star, you know.
He's
and
looked,
you know,
very good.
People go where's Middleton, and you know, but it's, you know, this is good, you know, because this is what we lacked, and we need the other people to be able to stick. This is what they wanted to do. So, it's like I said, get back to me in March. You know, let's talk about
it. And Portis had some good defense too, which was fantastic to see. You still wonder if teams have figured out that the biggest way to beat Milwaukee is that they don't guard a three-point line essentially at all. And you get one of those hot shooting nights and it's over. I mean, the Bucks put up 134 tonight. They shot 50 from three. 50% from three. 21 of 42. You know, Portland didn't shoot terribly from three. They shot 35.7% from three, which for three-pointers is a decent percentage for the most part.
Well, when you figure that half of those three-pointers are Dame Lillard trying to drill them from half court, you know, that's...
Yeah, well, he was 6 of 13. It's...
He's a good shooter, man. I'm
No, I know. Yeah, sorry. No, you're right. I mean, he tries to find ways to win these games, but yeah, they were out of it early, and it was kind of over at that point. Following up here, both Badger teams in hockey did phenomenally this week. It was a great week for Badger hockey men. They got to sweep Michigan State. We said this was going to be their kind of down week to come out and really put it to somebody. They won. It was it 4-1 and 6-0. I mean, they killed them in the games this week. Two goals for Caulfield, I think, in each game, actually, because he had an empty netter at the end of one of them here. So he's had a point streak going for a little bit here, continues to lead the Big Ten in scoring. He's up to 14 goals and 14 assists so far this year. Just phenomenal year for him. Linus Weisbach continues to play very well, too.
Best name in hockey.
Yeah. What's that?
Best name in hockey.
Yeah, Linus Weisbach. That's a good one. So, yeah, Badgers up to 12, I believe, in the most recent rankings. No, I'm sorry, 11 in the most recent rankings for hockey. They're 11-7 and sitting in second place in the Big Ten. So, you know, Minnesota's starting to, they're hanging out in second place now. They were down to four and moved back up to second. In terms of women, the Wisconsin women's team has all 15 first place votes at this point. They're 8-2. I forget who they went out and played. It'll take me a second here, but they went out and won another two games this week. This week they didn't play. They had St. Cloud State the other week. This week they just kind of held pat. They will play at Minnesota, number two Minnesota, this coming weekend on the 5th and 6th. So that'll be interesting to see. It's a little odd watching the men's hockey team playing at LeBron Arena. For those of you who don't know, LeBron is the women's arena, and the men normally play at Kohl Center. But with everything there is, playing in a smaller arena just makes as much sense as anything. So they've been playing out there at the Laban. So that's interesting to see too. Women's volleyball continues to roll. They went undefeated. They went out and beat Illinois in straight sets, 3-0 again. So just another great week for Wisconsin women's sports, holding on to those same number one rankings. Like we talked about, only women's program to have two teams in the number one rankings in two different sports.
Hey, Jim, back to women's hockey. St. Cloud State, great party school, right?
All three of my brothers graduated from there.
Yeah.
I think my two oldest ones were there when they had the riots back in 1987.
Well, I wasn't around for that, but great party school nonetheless. Yes. Anyway,
sorry, Jim. I spent some time on that campus. It was a lot of fun back in the day.
It's a lot of fun. Yes, was. I can't confirm what's happened in the last 20 years, but yeah. Late 90s, early 2000s, great party school.
I watched Tim Mahoney music down at the red carpet.
Yeah, God, the red carpet was still there when I was in college, too.
All right. Great. Wisconsin wrestling moves up to 18 in the country. I do that for Aaron so he can see at least what's been going on in Wisconsin wrestling. But yeah, they move up to 18th in the country. Still not particularly high in terms of Big Ten wrestling, because Big Ten wrestling is crazy. It's crazy good.
Yes,
all right. Yeah, that's what we've got for this week in terms of stuff. We'll come back next week. Maybe we'll talk about, maybe the Brewers will ever sign anybody ever. Or maybe Aaron will start at third base this year. We don't know. We're not really sure what's going to happen.
Maybe the Cardinals will stop getting favorable trades like Arenado from the Rockies. That's a 10-minute conversation right there.
Yeah, why isn't QAnon trying to stop that? That would be something real.
Yes.
Let's go after him.
Do something good, QAnon. Please.
Come on. Get away from the Capitol and go try to stop the Cardinals. All right. All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining us. You can follow the show on Twitter.
The Insurrection at Bushfield.
At Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. You can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk, and make sure I get this right. You can follow Jim at Jim Widener 51, correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. I nailed it this time. All right. We'll see you all next week. And remember, whether you are on the town or on the go, or safe at home on the couch, it is always on Wisconsin.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.